Mitzvah Pei Dalet 84 is Mitzvahs Shmitas Karkos. A little bit stuck in here without too much context of other mitzvahs Hatlios Ba'aretz, with other agricultural-based mitzvahs, but in any case, this is the order of the parasha, this is how we're going. Lahafgir Kol Ma She'Totzi Aretz V'Shana HaShviyas, that we should declare ownerless every produce of the land in the seventh year. And this is the seventh year is called Shnas Hashmita, the year of release, I guess, because we have to release all our produce into ownerlessness during that year. And whoever wants can come and claim ownership of the produce. The seventh year, you shall release it and abandon it, and the poor of your people will eat from it. The Yisram tochal chayas hasadeh, and the rest of it that people don't manage to consume, the beasts of the field shall eat, kein tasel chayr mechal ezeichad. So shall you shall do to your vineyard and your olive trees. The Minchas Chinuch says he does not sure whether it's dependent on you actually declaring it hefker. Does the person, in other words, it's assumed to be not hefker, and then you, it's a mitzvah upon you to declare it hefker and let everyone take, or whether the alternate side is that the Torah declares it hefker. So, in other words, it doesn't belong to you at all based on the Torah's declaration. So, if somebody comes and takes the produce, that's completely fine. Whereas if you have to be mafkirit, yeah, you sinned by not being mafkirit, but if somebody comes and takes it, then he's violates stealing. This is a machokis in earlier sources as well. The Loshon Mechilta, the language of the Mechilta is, the Halachic Medrash, Halo Akerem Ve'azayis Bichlal Haya, why did the Torah specifically tell you that so shall you shall do to your vineyard and your olive tree? What's the difference with those two things? Kilomar, they were in the general rule of making sure that you disregard every produce that you grow. Galomar Shirosha Pasuk Shamar Tishmetenu and Tashta, Yichlo Kol Masha Yitzmach Baritz. The Pasuk includes everything, every produce of the land. Bain Peros Ilan O Peros Adama, whether they are fruits of trees or fruits of the ground, what we call colloquially in English fruits or vegetables. Velama Prota Nakosu Shne Ele, why did the Torah tell us these two things specifically, vineyard and olives? Lahakish Lecherem Shar Mine Ilan. So we should derive by analogy that it applies to all types of fruit trees. Lame Chikmoshish Becherem Ase Velos Ase. So just as with a vineyard, if you don't do this, you violated a positive commandment and a negative commandment, which is a little while down the line, Mitzvah Shin Chav Tes. We have a couple hundred mitzvahs to go before we get there. Sherei beferush nichtav alav es in vein zirecha lo siv tzor. You shall not harvest your grapes. Kimochein kol shar ha'ilan yeshba asei velos asei. So, and in the other fruit tree, you violate the asei of tishmetenu and tashta and the los aseis of in vein zirecha lo siv tzor. Lefikach peret kerem v'zayis lamed al yinazeh. So what did the Torah told us? Two examples of trees. One is vineyard and one is the olive tree. Okay, a vineyard isn't, we wouldn't colloquially think of a vineyard as a tree, but halachically speaking, the vines are considered trees. Ki chavonos hakosuv de lav davka zayis levad, not just olives. El hu adin l'chol shar peros ha'ilan. The same applies to any fruits. Ela shehizker echa mehem v'hu malamin l'chulan. So the Torah tells you one, and it's really trying to teach you a lesson about all the similar types of things. Shezemin hamido shatara nidreshes, when this is one of the ways that we darshan the Torah. That when one thing is mentioned specifically, so sometimes it's meant to teach about everything a similar thing. Mitzvah zo shehi lahafkir kol peroseh, this mitzvah to declare ownerless all of its fruits. Mitzvah acheres shetzivanu hakel lishbosba. There's another mitzvah again a little while down the road. Well, not so far actually. that it says in kitzisa becharishu vakatzir tishbos, you shall refrain from plowing and reaping. So kesher echad lohen. So this is all one similar idea. That you have not, first you must not work the land, and two, you have to declare ownerless all the produce of the land during that year. It's all one idea, So here you're going to see when he talks about the mitzvah later on in this section, he mentions ideas from both and not specifically things that relate to declaring them ownerless. Mishor she'a mitzvah, the reasoning of the mitzvah is as follows, likboa b'libeinu, to fix in our hearts, v'letzayir tzir chazok b'machashavteinu, and to draw a strong picture in our thoughts. Inyan chidush ha'olam, this is part of the mitzvahs that are trying to teach us a lesson, that the world was created ex nihilo, and kisheshes yomim asa Hashem es hashamayim v'atz haaretz, God created the world for 6 days, and the seventh day, shelo bara davar, hichtiv menucha alatzmo. That God caused the Torah to describe God's inaction during the seventh day, so to speak, as rest. So therefore, when we rest, we do things that go in the pattern of six yes, seventh no. Similarly, of course, Shabbos, Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, the Shabbos is a remembrance of the period of creation. The reason that God has so many mitzvos that involve a cycle of six yes, seven no, is that we should always keep in mind the fact that the world it was created and not other things. Ulman Hasir Valakor Lasharish Marianenu, in order to remove and uproot and take out from our ideas and thoughts, Dvar Hakadmus Asher Yaminu Akofrim Batora. Uvo yes, hiersu kolpinosea vifritsu chamosea. So this is, we're trying to make sure that nobody gets in their heads the idea of the fact, the Olam Kadmon, that the world always existed, which is the Aristotelian philosophy, and that is in direct opposition to the words of the Torah, and therefore, since there was a specifically other ideas floating around nowadays, I guess there are different anti-creationalist ideas floating around, although not as explicit as this, per se. He says it destroys the walls of the faith, such ideas, so therefore we should always have in mind that we do not accept that. So Bachova Aleinu Lotzi Kozmanenu Yom Yom Vishana Shana al Dvarzel Ibn Sheshana Velishbos Bashvias. So for this reason there is a obligation on us to take all dark our time to about these things, day by day and year by year around this thing. So it's again the same idea that just like on Shabbos, where we're talking about days, and in the seventh year, we talk about year, the Shemitah year, we talk about year, is still the same idea, six yes, seventh no. So because we kind of constant reminders of the fact that the world was created, the six yes, seven no, then this idea will be in front of our eyes at all times. So we shouldn't ever forget it. So it's a similar idea to weekly Shabbos. And in addition to not working, we should declare ownerless everything that the earth puts forth during this year. Kidei Sheyizkor ha'adam ki aretz shemotzia elav haperos b'chol shana v'shana lo b'chochos gulasa totziosam. Another reason for this mitzvah, I mean, every mitzvah has more than one reason, presumably. Another reason for this mitzvah is that we should remember that it's not simply the earth's power of producing fruit that gives us all the produce year after year. Ki yish adon aleha ve'al adonah, that there is a lord over the earth and over the people who are masters of the, who could think that they're masters of the earth and they're working the land, then there's someone above that. That's God. So to make clear that it's all the produce is ultimately God's and not kochi votzim yadi, and not everybody individually working the land and therefore it's producing produce, but really it requires God's blessing as well. So this is another reason why we have to take a break, one in every seven, to just to internalize this idea. Ve'od yesh to'eles nimtza bedavar, laknos b'zeh midas havatronus. Another reason for the mitzvah of Shemitah, a more mussary reason, is we should absorb the character trait of letting go. Ki ein nadiv kenosen ribli tikval hagmul, because the best type of donor is somebody who donates without hope for getting something out of it, rather totally out of the goodness of his heart. That another reason for the mitzvah, another advantage that we derive from it, is that people will start trusting God more, and not again, like I said, kochi v'otzim yadi, not putting so much faith in their own work. Ki chol hamotze im levavo laseisu lahafkir leolam kol gidulei karkaosav v'nachalas avosav agdelem b'chol shana achas. That if you can find it in your heart to give and just to anybody who wants all the produce of his field and his father, his ancestors' inheritance that grow throughout an entire year, and all his household are also watching their field and they're watching, you know, his people creep into their field taking stuff. The first reaction might be, "Ah, they're taking our food. What's going on?" But no, they have to. They have to learn that lo sechzak bo leolam midas hakilos harbe velo miyot habitachon. So people who can overcome that initial shock, that, oh my gosh, they're taking it, what, it's ours, so then they're not going to develop the character trait of miserliness. And not lack of faith, they're going to develop strong faith in God. Yeah. Midine ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah of the Shemitah year are as follows, also relevant for anybody who's planning to visit Eretz Yisrael next year. Next year, as I said, is Shemitah. Again, this is not going to discuss at all the halachos that you need to know if you're in Israel during Shemitah. I guess if you eat at restaurants or buy from food stores with reliable hechsherim, so, and you don't touch any of the ground in any way, then you'll probably be fine. But dig in the ground or water or plants or anything like that. But you got to learn, if you want to really visit Eretz Yisrael and you want to be part of it, you have to learn all the halachos hatluyos baretz, all the agricultural mitzvos, which we don't really have so much in mind anymore here in Chutz Laretz. The halachos of working the land are only during the Shemitah year, but the produce...
Like you say, if you're going into a restaurant or into
a
store or whatever, it's...
But buying produce remains a problem throughout much of the following year as well. That's true. I was never in Eretz Yisrael during a Shemitah year. I was only there immediately after the Shemitah year for Sukkos. So there were still problems with the produce, but there were no more problems with the actual working the land per se. Midine ha-mitzvah... Which types of agricultural activities are forbidden on a deraisa level, min ha-Torah? Kigon zeria, zimira, kitzira, bitzira. Sowing, pruning, harvesting, and picking grapes. Vashehen asuros midarabanan, which malachos are asur on a rabbinical level? Kigon mizabel v'chofer, that putting fertilizer and digging. Vavodos sheboilon kigon, and the types of work that are required for a tree, like chosech menu yabelis, you chop off some sort of infection from the tree. Porek bimenu olin obadin yevashin, you take off from it dry leaves or twigs. Me'abek be'avak, you sprinkle it with powder. All right, we'll see in a second. O me'ashein tachtav l'hami satalas, or you smoke out insects from the tree. You create a little fire underneath the tree. The smoke, you know, gotta make sure not to set the tree on fire, but it's somehow creating some smoke that underneath the tree that rises up and gets into all the little crevices of the tree and kills the insects that are in the tree and are they're apparently threatening its life. Sachanatios, anoint the newly planted trees. Kotem omefaseg hoilanos, you take off the tips of certain branches, or you support the ilanos. It's a different explanation of exactly what this means, omefaseg. It's just some way of supporting the tree, tying the branches up, or some way of artificial support. Umashi tirulasos, and there are certain things that are mutter to do with agricultural things during the Shemitah year, kigon, such as sokrin besikra. Let's say there's a tree that is not healthy, and you want to daven for it. In the olden days, you used to daven for, nowadays we don't do this so much anymore, I guess you could, that it would be a real problem. If a tree used to start losing its fruit, then you wouldn't have what to eat, and it would be bad. So in order to designated as a tree that requires mercy from heaven, they used to mark it with red paint. So they said that is permissible. The marking with red paint is permissible during Shemitah. The oder tachas hagifonim, and to dig underneath the grapevines. Vidin avodas beis hashlochin, two different terms for this. Some girsos have it with a ches, with a hey, beis hashlochin or beis hashlochin, which is land that is extremely dry. So it requires artificial irrigation. It's the first Mishnah in Maseches Moed Katan is Mashke Beis Hashlochin B'Moed U'V'Shvias. You're allowed, since it's really dry and it's not going to survive unless it has artificial irrigation, so you're allowed to irrigate this extremely parched land during Chol HaMoed and during the Shemitah year. V'Shelo Yase Ashba B'Soch Sadehu Ad Shi'avor Zman HaZibul. You should not make a dung heap in your field until people no longer normally fertilize their field. So it shouldn't look like you're applying fertilizer, but rather just making a dung heap. And even at the time where you are allowed to start making the dung heap, then it has to be a big heap. It can't be spread out in a nice layer over a certain section of the field, because then it looks like you are, in fact, fertilizing your field. It has to be bigger than 150 se'ah of manure. Mash amru she'achiyuv lihimana me'avodas aret 30 yom kodem shnas ha'shvias. There's halacha l'mosh mi'Sinai that during the time, it doesn't mention this interestingly, during the time that the Beis HaMikdash is around, then there's halacha l'moshe mi'Sinai that we're not allowed to work the land for 30 days before the Shemitah year technically starts. And nowadays, we're allowed to work the land up until Rosh Hashanah. It's also very strange, by the way, that Shemitah starts on Rosh Hashanah. It starts in Tishrei, because in Tanakh, we normally count the years starting in Nisan, because we stick out the month starting in Nisan. So you might think that the Shemitah starts in Nisan, but that's not true. With the year of the year for Shemitah starts in what we call Rosh Hashanah. V'din stay ilon kamazman aser bavoda mishana shisus. And what about a field with trees? So how long is that aser during the sixth year? Umahu nikra stay. So that depends. Certain fields are until Pesach, and some aren't. I'm sorry, it's until Shavuos. A different type of field is until Pesach. But again, these also don't apply during the time where there's no Beis HaMikdash. It's all until Rosh Hashanah. Umau nikras de'ilan, and what's called a tree field, it depends on the concentration of trees within a certain area. V'isur havracha v'harkava, you're not allowed to, during Shemitah, to take, for example, a newly planted tree and stick the top back into the ground and pull it up another side so that the middle part is still covered in earth, which apparently creates two trees or something of that nature. It creates, it gives you more produce somehow. And harkava, you're not allowed to graft one part of a tree onto another, even if it's mutter, the two trees. Let's say the two trees are the same species, so then it'd be okay. But you're still not allowed to do that during Shavuos. V'im avar v'asa ma'yehei binti Yosef. And if you did it, so what do you have to do with the things that you planted? So the halacha is that if you did this, really you can't plant it before Shavuos unless you give it enough time to take root. So if these trees took root, the havracha and arkava, the grafted trees, or I don't know what the English term for this is, to be put in the ground and then taken out again, if it all took root before the Shemitah year started, then it's okay, even though maybe. But in any case, but if it's not actually planted, it's not actually taken full root before the Shemitah year, then you have to uproot it. And what is the rule for fruit that grows during the Shemitah year? So we know that fruit that grows during the Shemitah year, you're allowed to eat. It says explicitly in the Pasuk that it should be for people to eat, and for all poor people to eat. But it has what's known as Kedusha Shvias. The fruit bears a certain level of holiness, which means it cannot be wasted and it cannot be used in other than the normal fashion for eating this type of fruit. Something to keep in mind, by the way, have to keep in mind these halachos if you happen to buy wine, Shemitah wine, and that could be many years after Shemitah is over. So you have to keep in mind that you're not allowed to waste it. Like if you use it for Havdalah, for example, you're not allowed to spill it out, even though normally you have the custom that we make the Havdalah cup overflow a little bit. Shouldn't be too much. But if you have Shemitah wine, then you're not allowed to make the cup overflow or waste that in any way. You're not really allowed to export Shemitah produce to Chutz Laaretz, but sometimes, occasionally, you'll find Shemitah wine in stores here in America. So one has to be careful if one buys that accidentally have to make sure also that all the halachos of Shemitah were properly observed, including there's a certain time where you have to get rid of all your Shemitah fruit. So the way we paskin is that it's sufficient simply to take your Shemitah fruit out, be mafkir it, and then you can declare it ownerless, then you can take it back in the house. There are opinions that you actually physically have to get rid of it. But you have to make sure that that was done. If you buy Shemitah wine, you have to make sure that all the halachos of the beer were properly observed. That anything that's specific for human consumption, kagon chitim u'seorim, wheat and barley, uperos and fruit, ain osin mehen malugma ratia. You can't make a bandage out of it. So a lot of times they talk about this in Hilchos Pesach, in terms of using grain products to make a bandage. They used to make a paste or flour or something, and they used to use it to put it over their wounds as a sort of bandage. So if it's Shemitah produce, you're not allowed to do that, because that's not the normal, you use it like that occasionally, but it's not the normal manner of consumption of this. So then you're not allowed to do that. But like I said, you are allowed to make wine out of Shemitah grapes, even though you press it and, you know, there's certain parts of it that might go to waste, because the normal manner of eating grapes is through pressing them to make wine. Who eats? No, I mean, but seriously, it's considered, I know, people eat grapes, but the normal, considered to be almost the more normal manner of eating grapes than actually plucking them off the vine and putting them in your mouth is through making them into wine. Similarly, olives, of course, also, the normal manner of eating olives is not by plopping the olive in your mouth, rather by making oil out of the olive. Shenemar bahen le'achla. So it says about them le'achla that they should be eaten. V'she'eno miyucha le'maychal adam, if it's not specific for human consumption, kigon kotzim v'dardarim, so thistles and thorns. Osim yamalugma le'adam v'lo la'behema, you could make a bandage for a person, but not for an animal. V'she'eno miyucha le'adam v'la behema, if it's not at all normal for a man or a person or an animal. You go in pua, ve'ezo, ve'kurnis, different types of plants, hyssop, thyme, maybe. The exact translations what does the article say? Layering, by the way. He says that havracha is layering. There's a verse to a technique in which the branch is laid down in the ground and covered with earth so that it can sprout new trees. Yeah, that's what I said, basically. Trees that were planted, grafted, or layered in contravention to the above state of law must be uprooted. Like I said, okay, this is the rabbinically imposed penalty designed to discourage laxity and Shemitah observance. If the tree was not uprooted, its fruit nevertheless remains permitted. He says, madder, hyssop, and oregano. Okay, I saw thyme. I mean, I looked up in a modern Hebrew. Cornice was thyme. Okay, whatever. I mean, I'm sure we know exactly what these things mean, but it's different types of
herbs.
Yeah, not specifically reserved either for humans or animals. So those things, Hareyu Toli b'machsheves ha'adam, so those things are dependent on what the person thinks about them. Chashavan la'achila dinan kemaychal, if you decide to use them as spices and eat them, so then they're considered to be food and may not be wasted at all. Chashavan la'itzim dinan ke'itzim, so if you decided to use the plants simply as firewood or something like that, then they're just considered to be like wood. V'yesa rubei pratea kulan, all of the relevant halachos, this is, of course, Masecha Shvias, which is found in the Mishnah and the Tosefta and the Talmud Yerushalmi, but is not found in the Talmud Bavli, because most of the Masechtos, which govern things that are not relevant to those of us living nowadays in the diaspora, are not covered by the Talmud Bavli. But if you're really trying to work on what should be the halacha lemaisa, what should be the practical halacha regarding various things about the Shemitah year, so you really have to learn the Yerushalmi. It's much harder than learning the Bavli to a certain extent. So on one hand, it's much more concise. Talmud Yerushalmi is much more concise than the Talmud Bavli, but on the other hand, it's much less explicit and there's much less of an interpretive tradition about it. So you have to work much harder in figuring out what it really means, even though on a simple level, it's somewhat more straightforward. Benoheges bizchar munikevos. Well, applies, of course, to male and females. Beretz Yisrael bilvad. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Uvizman shi Yisrael sham, when most of the people live in Israel. Shenemar aleha kisavo el haaretz. Most, a lot of the halachos that are only applicable midaraisa in the land of Israel when most of the people are there. Most people live in Israel, like the Trumas Umaisra Sechala are only applicable when most of the Jewish people live in the land of Israel. Umidarabanan, no heges afilu bizman hazeh, ba'aretz dafka. Midarabanan, we have to keep Shemitah nowadays, midarabanan in the land of Israel. So the Rambam, I don't believe, ties the Shemitah in specifically to the most people living in Israel, like the Sefer HaChinuch does. He says that the Shemitah being applicable midaraisa is tied onto when the Yovel is applicable. So even when, for example, when the first tribes were exiled in the earliest, very early, so there was no Yovel, so the Yovel no longer was applicable. And other halachos that tied in with the Yovel. So once the Yovel was no longer noeg, then since it wasn't all the Shvatim and everything in the land of Israel, then there was no more Yovel and there was no more Shemitah. According to the Rambam, the Shemitah has not been, the Yovel hasn't been knowing for a very long time, and the Shemitah as well. The Shemitah has been Derabanan for the last 2,500 years or so, approximately. So that's also, by the way, there is a little bit of a girsa issue. In all the manuscripts of the Rambam, it says explicitly that Shemitah nowadays is only Derabanan. But in some of the printings of the Rambam, they shortened his language. They put an ellipsis where there shouldn't really be an ellipsis. It made it sound like it wasn't exactly clear that maybe Rambam held that Shemitah nowadays was actually still Deraisa. But all the manuscripts say that it's only Derabanan. So you have people. But a lot of rabbis who didn't have access to these manuscripts, they were going back and forth. Does the Rambam hold Shemitah nowadays Deraisa, Derabanan? How could it be? It doesn't make sense. Okay, whatever. But he does paskin explicitly that it's Shemitah nowadays only Derabanan. That, of course, is one of the major arguments used by proponents of the Heter Mechira, that the scheme to sell parts of the farms in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews for the duration of the Shemitah era, along the lines of how we sell chametz before Pesach. So you make sort of a legal fiction that they own the land. And since Shemitah nowadays is only Derabanan, so there's more leniency, room for leniency about these issues. But this involves assumption of many, many different kulas. One is that it's mutter. First of all, that the sale...
How can it be?
What?
How can it be okay to sell the land?
Right. This assumes, first of all, A, that it's mutter to sell the land even in a fashion that is not recognized by the actual government, which is also one reason, since the sale is not actually recognized by the government and you don't actually pass the title, so then the sale might be invalid. Secondly, right, is a mutter to sell even temporarily parts of Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. It's made better because they sell to an Arab who's not does not worship Avodah Zarah. Maybe
yeah,
is more.
Yeah, they watch your heads. I mean, nowadays, so they don't worship Avodah Zarah. So they do. They worship violence.
Right.
I mean,
kol hakoyis kilo ovid Avodah Zarah. Anybody who gets angry is as if he violates Avodah Zarah. The third assumption is that in fact, goy owning part of Eretz Yisrael does in fact exempt one from the observance of Shemitah there. It's only when the land is actually owned by a Jew that exempts you from observance, that you have to observe the land, but if it's owned by a goy, then you don't have to observe Shemitah in that part of the land. So those are all not so clear propositions. It's not so clear. But the argument goes that since Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanan, so we could have a legal fiction, a harama, to be lenient about all these considerations. So, as is well known, many poskim did not accept that. The leading the fight was the Chazon Ish, where he felt this was completely incorrect. He also said it wasn't so clear we even paskin that Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanan. He said maybe we paskin Shemitah nowadays is Deraisa. There is actually an opinion in the Rishonim that we don't go like a singularly held opinion that Shemitah nowadays is only a Midas Chasidus. It's only a pious practice, but it's not even technically required. Midrabanan. We don't pass like that. The
it's ikar, right there in the book.
I mean, the ikar lahalacha is that shmias nowadays is derabanan, but it's still not so clear that we should be lenient about the heter mechira. In fact, even the, again, I'm not holding enough anywhere near it to make an absolute, to deliver an original psak about the heter mechira, but I can tell you that even the OU does not accept the heter mechira. Also because there's not as much of a shasat chak anymore than the early days of the Yishuv in Israel. People were mamish going to starve. People would not have any money, and so it was more an absolute emergency situation. So, I mean, even then, many people felt that that heter mechira was not acceptable. But certainly nowadays, where we're much where the people in Israel are wealthier, it's much easier to can things, freeze things, import from Chutzaritz, outside Israel. So it's questionable, especially we in America who don't really need Israeli produce. We have plenty of produce here. So we should not rely on the heter mechira. That's at least the OU's position, which I think that if you normally rely on the OU as your go-to hechsher in America, and the OU has many kulas as well. So if you rely on their kulas, should take their chumras as well. If you live in Israel and you don't have any psak on the matter, then you live in a community where they rely on heter mechira. So maybe okay, there's what to discuss. But Americans living in Israel, Americans visiting Israel, or to establish a policy l'chatchila when you move to Israel, doesn't seem to me that it's proper to rely on heter mechira. But again, I'm not anywhere near an expert on this subject. Well, an eruv is not at all legal fiction. That's not at all legal fiction.
I mean, it's
No, that's a real. That's maker adin. Okay, but you can discuss whether in which places you could have an eruv and which places you can't. But if you decide that an eruv works in a particular place, so it's not at all legal fiction. That's just, in other words, one of the reasons one of the ways you can enclose an area to make it a rishus hayochid, to make it a private domain that you can carry there on Shabbos, is by the use of what's called a door frame. An image of a door frame. So that's one of the ways. It's the same as building a wall around the area, according to most opinions. So it's not. No, Erev is not a good example. Erev is not at all legal fiction. Erev is maker adin. Okay, but selling chametz and selling this, that's a legal fiction. So we call in halacha harama that we only. So for selling chametz, first of all, that may also not be a legal fiction. Maybe that's not a good example either. The selling chametz is a difference of opinion as to whether it's in fact considered to be an actual sale or whether it's considered to be a legal fiction. And those who say that it is a legal fiction, so a legal fiction really, as we've seen, only really works when you're dealing with an issue that's derabanan. So why is owning chametz derabanan? We know it's a deraisa to own chametz. So the answer is that once you've said the bittul, once you've nullified all your chametz in your head, so on a deraisa level, you're not over, you do not violate the prohibition of owning chametz with the chametz that's in your possession. So once you've said the bittul, even assuming that the rabbanan, you still have to get rid of the chametz, you can't just leave a huge cake in your house and say, oh, bittul, I declare this to be nullified, although on a biblical level that does work. So since you're only not allowed to own this cake on a rabbinic level, so then a fake sale does work. It's much better. But if it's a real sale, if the sale is actually valid, according to halacha, then it doesn't need to be a legal fiction, even if it's aser daraisa to own your chametz, if the non-Jew now really, really owns it al pi halacha. So all these things, we assume something works somewhere along the line. That's why we rely on mechiras chametz. So you could argue the same as with selling the land for heter mechira. Now that they came up with a selling chametz on Pesach because people, Jews were very poor and they started to get into the business of maybe the whiskey business to a certain extent, or they had lots of chametz. Didn't you tell me that? Since they were so poor and since their livelihood was this, so they had started to have more stock of chametz at home. They didn't break. I mean, I guess when the heter mechira came around, freezers weren't invented yet, but I guess maybe you could extend it nowadays that people have tons of stuff in the freezer. It'll be hard to get rid of it all. But in the olden days, when you bake bread fresh every day, so it wasn't so hard. Okay, fine. But they started to have larger stocks of chametz. So they found it to be unbearable, the prohibition of owning chametz during Pesach, so they had to come up with some halachically acceptable way around it. But you can make the argument that nowadays the Jews are much more prosperous and there's food available all the time, so maybe it's not appropriate to rely on Mechiras Chametz either. But again, Mechiras Chametz is probably more what we call in Yiddish oisgehalten. It's probably more well established and halachically more likely to be valid than the Heter Mechira for Shemitah. But the principles behind them are somewhat similar, especially if you consider it to be a harama. So it's if it's only derabanan, then it is okay. So Shemitah is only in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chinuch agrees with the Rambam. He quotes the opinion of the he agrees with the Rambam. Shemitah nowadays is only it is in fact absolutely prohibited, but it's only in Sidur Rabbanan. V'chol makom shechaziku bo olei bavel ad kziv velo kziv bichal aser ba'avoda. And this only applies to the area that was conquered by the people who came back from Galus Bavel, from the exile in Babylonia, led by Ezra and Nehemiah, that they came, when they came back, so the area that they conquered is considered to be imbued with the holiness of Eretz Yisrael on a permanent level. The holiness that was imbued in Eretz Yisrael by the original settlers when they came out of Egypt, you know, after the exodus from Egypt, after the 40 years in the desert, that Kiddusha did not carry over after the exile to Babylonia. So when they came back from Babylonia, they conquered it and they declared it to be holy forevermore. So that's what we have nowadays as well. The borders that were conquered by the people who came back from Babylonia are considered to be part Eretz Yisrael, halachically speaking, and not the huge borders, the bigger borders of Eretz Yisrael that were conquered by those who came out of Egypt. And all the vegetables that grow there are prohibited to be eaten. So he says this in an offhand manner, but he's really introducing here a new halacha. There is halacha, really midaraisa, what it's supposed to be, is both fruits and vegetables that grow in the land of their own accord are permitted to be eaten with kedusha shvias, but they're imbued with the holiness of shvias. But there is a big difference between fruit that grows on trees and produce that grows straight from the ground, like vegetables and grains and things like that, which is that the fruit trees, you know that the tree was there from previous years, whereas vegetables have to be planted every year. Okay, sometimes there are vegetables that grow on their own from seeds from previous years or whatever. Sometimes they grow on their own, but really you plant vegetables every year. So obviously you're not allowed to plant those during Shemitah, but according to the biblical law, any vegetables that happen to grow during the Shemitah year, you're allowed to eat. But that's what you're supposed to eat because of Kedusha Shvias. But the rabbis were concerned that people used to plant vegetables during Shemitah and say, oh, it just grew, it was from seeds from previous years, it just happened to continue growing. So they forbade us from eating vegetables that grow during the Shemitah year, only trees, because obviously you can't pull the shtick with trees, because a tree does not grow and bear fruit in one year. Kihem kitshu hamakomos shes heziku bohen olan. The people who came from Babylonia declared holy all the places that they conquered forever. The larger boundaries of the conquest of the people who came from the exodus from Egypt. So they are prohibited still. We're not allowed to work the land on a rabbinic level even there. So that's more like you'll see in a second that a lot of the areas around Eretz Yisrael, you have to have Shemitah still derabanan, even though derais that's only in Eretz Yisrael proper in the area that the Babylonian exiles conquered. So we're not allowed to work the land in the entire area that was conquered by the people who came out of Egypt. But it's not so stringent to the extent that the vegetables that grow there are prohibited to be eaten. Because it's not the rabbis did not declare that to be prohibited. They left it on the biblical, what would be the biblical level, assuming there were that area was prohibited to be worked on a biblical level, and you're allowed to eat the vegetables. And outside that, you're allowed to even work the land. Syria. So he conquered that. David HaMelech conquered parts of Syria what we call now Syria, before he finished conquering the entire Eretz Yisrael. This does not have the full holiness of Eretz Yisrael, but rather David HaMelech conquered this on his own accord. It wasn't part of the expansion of Eretz Yisrael per se. The Eretz Hazos, he connected Aram Naharaim, Aram Tzova, Kol Yad, Pras Ad Bavel. So it's a huge area from Syria, Lebanon, Syria, to all the way to the Euphrates River, it says. Kigon Damesek V'Ahlab, Damascus and Aleppo, Halab, different ways of describing it. V'Choron U'Mekomos Acherim Smuchin Le'elu, and other places like this. Afal Pishein Shvias Noeges B'Amin HaTorah, since they're not really Eretz Yisrael, so there's no Shvias there on a biblical level, even in the time where Shvias was Midoraisa. Nevertheless, we're not allowed to work those areas like Eretz Yisrael because it's so close and it has great ties to Eretz Yisrael, and there at least used to be a lot of Jews there. But Jordan, you might say, what we call nowadays, and Egypt and Babylonia. Even though, since there are a lot of Jews there and they're pretty close to the land of Israel, so midrabanan on a rabbinic level, you're actually required to separate the required tithes there. It's interesting that it seems that the minhag for a long time has not been to do this. So the poskim worked very hard to try to figure out why they didn't even separate tithes there. But technically, it's recorded in the books of the poskim that those areas you have to separate trumas to ma'aser midrabanan, but there's no shvias derabanan. Even the shmita year is not applicable there, even midrabanan. The choshek ein she'eino eges b'shar chutzaretz, and certainly here in America or in Europe or any other place that there's no prohibitions of the sabbatical year at all. At least in the land, there are prohibitions of the fact that you're not allowed to collect a loan after the shmita year has passed. The shmita year cancels all loans. That is applicable in Chutz La'aretz because it's not collected to the land per se. We have a general rule that things that are connected to the land, laws that are connected to the land, are only applicable in Eretz Yisrael or these surrounding areas, except for Chadash, except for the prohibition of new grain, which is according to one opinion in the Tanaim, and according to the vast majority of poskim passing like that, that's prohibited midaraisa. Prohibited midaraisa in any place in Chutz La'aretz, although some people tend to limit the scope. Since the custom has been to be lenient about that, some people want to limit the scope of this. They say maybe it's only the Rabbanan, or that it's only applicable in places around Eretz Yisrael, like these other halachos that we've just discussed. When we get to the mitzvah of Chodesh, I'm sure we'll discuss that much more in depth. Be'over aleha, if you violated this mitzvah, v'no'al karmo sodeo b'shvias, if you lock the gate to your vineyard or your field in the seventh year. O Asaf Kol Pirosa Leveso, you, before anybody could get to it, you gather all the fruit and spirit it into your house. Bizman Shisrael Adad Masam Bitalase. During a time where the Jewish people are properly in their land, and the Yovel would be applicable also, the Jubilee year, Bitalase. That you violated a negative, a positive commandment in Midaraisa, but nowadays it's Derabanan. Obviously, just because it's yours, you don't have to strew it around to everyone else. You could take some for yourself. It's as if you should treat yourself as if there was a hefker field, and you should allow everyone to take it. You could take for yourself a little bit too. That's not, it's not a problem, but you should treat it as if you do not have, that field has no owners.